Nung nagpapastor ang inyong lingkod sa Pilipinas, binisita namin ang isa sa mga gawain namin sa Mindoro, na kung saan may tinatawag na ministry sa mga mangyan. Nakapag-start ng church yung aming isa sa mga sinend-off namin na pastor doon. And para makarating po doon sa mga mangyan tribe, kailangan po namin umakyat ng bundok, tumawid ng mga batis, literally, lalakarin namin yung gilid ng bundok, no? And kulang-kulang po mga 4 oras bago kami makarating sa lugar na yon. So excited lahat kami, and karamihan sa amin ay walang karanasan sa pag-akyat ng bundok. So isipin nyo na lang kung gaano kami kakabarin. So pinagdala po kami ng malaking backpack, no? Yung mga pang camper na backpack, na kung saan pinadala kami ng maraming damit, pagkain, medical supplies, at kung ano pang mga kailangan pag ikaw ay naipit sa kalagitnaan ho ng kabundukan. So there we were, started walking, nagsimula kami ng umaga, lumakbay po kami, and after ng ilang oras po, nararamdaman na namin na medyo mabigat na po ang aming backpack. Kasi nga lang, hindi kami sanay dahil loaded po yung backpack. Ano? May mga nakarolyo pang mga kumot at tent yung iba doon. Ito isa sa mga dahilan kung bakit madalas kaming mag-break, huminto sa aming lakbayin. E may hinahabol po kaming oras kasi bago lumubog ang araw, dapat nandun na po kami. So hindi nagtagal, napansin namin na may mga grupo na mangyan na lumapit sa amin. Pinadala ito ng chieftain. Ang chieftain po yung namumuno po sa village na yun, na kung saan doon kami papunta dahil meron hong church doon na nasimulan. And in-offer nila na tulungan, na tutulungan daw kami buhatin yung aming mga backpack na nasisimula na maging burden sa amin, heavy burden sa amin. Medyo nag-alangan kami ibigay dahil napapansin namin na mga mama na ito ay medyo may short yung kanilang height. At iniisip namin, baka pag sinuot yun, bumagsak ng gano'n. So, nag-atubilik. Tapos sinabi ng local pastor doon, okay lang, sanay sila ron. At sa kinagulat namin, dala-dalawa ang bag na binitbit nila at in-overtaken pa kami, nauna pa ko sa amin. Dahil sanay sila ron. But what such heavy burden sa aming likod ang natanggal? You know, mga kaibigan, kasalanan, ang kasalanan sa Bible is described as a heavy burden na akay-akay natin. It's inescapable, it's great, it's many, it's overwhelming. Alam ko marahil sa kwarto na ito may mga iba't ibang burdens ang bawat isa na kinakarga. Nandiyan ang financial burden na nakapatong sa atin. Mga kailangan bayaran, mga kailangan bilhin, burden ng karamdaman, marahil may mga complicated medical condition tayo o ang mahal natin sa buhay. The daily burden of dealing with difficult people at work and school. Bilang magulang, you have a concern with one of your children. Bilang estudyante, yung coming exams, deadlines ng mga project, these things are starting to become burdens. Ito at marami pang iba marahil na nasa listahan mo na masasabi mong mga heavy burden. We feel overwhelmed sa mga ito, and so we invest our attention, our time, our energy, and even our resources to resolve it, thinking na these are our greatest problems. Kasi nakatuon na ang atensyon natin doon. Friends, I am here to tell you na hindi ang mga ito ang inyong greatest burden. Hindi ito ang inyong greatest problem. Your and my greatest problem or burden is our sin. That's our greatest problem. At ito ang ina-address ni Apostle Paul sa buong book ng Romans, na tayong lahat ay makasalanan, religious man tayo o hindi. As mentioned sa mga inaral natin from the past sa Romans, our sins are against God, nabanggit din natin to last week, and yung sin natin against God yung kanyang wrath has been aroused. O naa-attract natin dahil sa kasalanan natin ang wrath ng Panginoon. And one day, He will fully judge us. Ito po ang titingnan natin ngayong umaga sa passage na ito. Tayo nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series ng Book of Romans, The Gospel of the Righteousness of God. Ang letter to the Romans ay natatanging katangian. Ayun. Na kung saan that it has powerfully impacted a lot of Christians from the past. It impacted a person na tinatawag na church father, isa sa mga church father na si Augustine of Hippo. It have impacted a leader ng Reformation na pangalan ni si Martin Luther. It also greatly influenced ang kilalang Calvin's Institute at marami pang iba. In fact, hanggang ngayon, it continues to impact many Christians at sa kanilang buhay sa panahon na ito. Sinulat ni Paul ang letter to the Romans from Corinth sa kanyang third missionary journey at isinulat niya ito, yung letter na to upang ituro ang righteous judgment ng Panginoon sa kasalanan and to highlight ang kadakilaan at kagandahan ng gospel ng Panginoong Hesukristo. He wants both the Jews and the Gentiles to be united sa gospel and to give God glory sa kung paano sila mamumuhay. Sa chapter 1, pinakita ni Paul kung gaano kamakasalanan ng mga Gentiles, morally corrupt, morally fallen, and will be judged dahil dito. Sa chapter 2, Paul has done an elaborate job of identifying and debunking the Jews, yung misplaced confidence nila, na ang pagtiwala nila sa national election nila, sa kanilang ethnicity, sa possession and knowledge of the law, their calling, ang circumcision, lahat ng mga to, sinabi ni Paul, will not justify from your sins. It will not absolve them from the coming judgment ng Panginoon. At ngayong umaga, ipapakita naman ni Paul na both Jews and Gentiles are sinners that desperately need to be redeemed by Christ. My prayer for us this morning as we open God's Word that we would see the sinfulness of our sins and the sinfulness of our own righteousness apart from Christ. And that we would see the beauty of Christ's redeeming work and be a people who will forever marvel sa Kanyang amazing grace. That is my prayer. That is my hope para sa ating ngayong umaga. God demonstrates His faithfulness through the just judgment of all guilty sinners. God demonstrates His faithfulness through the just judgment of all guilty sinners. We have divided itong passage into two points. Number one, God's faithfulness in justly judging sin. Verses 1 hanggang 8. And number two, guilty sinners will be judged justly by God. Verses 9 hanggang 20. Let's jump right in sa ating first point. God's faithfulness in justly judging sin. Sa chapter 2, Paul had already undermined the Jews' misplaced confidence. Sabi niya ang kanilang national election, ethnicity, possession, and knowledge ng salita ng Diyos, at ang kanilang circumcision, which is a sign na meron silang covenant relationship sa Panginoon, will not justify or absolve sila in the day of that great judgment ng Panginoon. Hindi porque sila ay Jews, maliligtas sila sa judgment ng Panginoon. Paul argues over the last several verses na lahat by nature ay guilty sa harapan ng Panginoon. Mapa ito ay Greeks or Gentiles or Jews. Ang tawag sa ganitong kalaking pasabog, medyo malaki po ito nung narinig ng mga Jews na sinabi ni Paul ito. Kaya sa ganitong kalaking pasabog, he anticipates objections from fellow Jews. So ang ginawa niya sa verses 1 hanggang 8, he poses some rapid fire sequence of questions in the form of a dialogue to get his message across sa kanyang mga readers. Ang tawag sa estilo na ito ay diatribe. Gumamit siya ng dialogical style para ibigay ang logic ng kanyang argumento. He gives objections in a form of a question, tapos sasagutin din niya yung mga katanungan na kanyang binato. He is posing questions or objections sa sarili niya in order to make his view clear sa kanyang readers. Ayon nga sa isang New Testament scholar na si Douglas Moo, we might regard the dialogue as one between Paul the Jew and Paul the Christian. So walang narinig na, walang sinasabi si Paul dito na meron ako na inkwentro na isang tao na nakipagdebate sa akin. No, it is him giving this question and answer dialogue in order for him to get his message clearly across. So, parang si Paul na Jew nakikipag-usap kay Paul the Christian, as according kay Moon. Titignan natin ang mga objections na ito as supposedly galing sa mga religious people or sa mga Jews. Now, kung titignan po natin, meron apat pero ginawa ko pong tatlong objections sa verses 1 to 8 kasi pinagsama ko na po yung dalawa sa huli. Iisa lang ang sinasabi. And you will find out mamaya. So, tatlong objections na umiikot sa pangako ng Diyos, ang kanyang katapatan, at ang kanyang katarungan. Okay? Ang kanyang promise, ang kanyang faithfulness, at ang kanyang pagiging just or fairness. Una, pag-usapan natin God's promise. Verse 1. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Kung babasahin natin ang previous mga verses, o susundan natin yung argument ni Paul from the previous verses, malamang ang agad na isasagot po natin dito ay, may advantage ba ang Jews? Wala! Malamang yun ang immediate response mo, lalo na kung galing ka sa chapter 2 na kung saan ang Jews ay hindi maliligtas sa kanilang circumcision, tapos sa chapter 1 naman ang Gentiles sa kanilang immorality, they will be judged. So, logically, pagdating sa chapter 3, itatanong ito, may advantage ba ang Jews? Ang sagot natin ay wala. Pero, ginulat po tayo ni Paul dito sa kanyang sagot. Tingnan nyo sa verse 2. Ang sabi niya, much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. Oracles of God here means God's Word or the Old Testament. Pinagkatiwala sa kanila ang salita ng Diyos sa mga Jews. Sila ang mga custodians of God's Word for centuries. God has spoken to them and entered into a special relationship with them through His Word. Hindi niya ito ginawa sa ibang mga lahi. He specifically chosen the Jews. Sabi nga sa Deuteronomy 4 verse 8, what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Sabi din sa Psalm 147 verse 19, He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and rules to Israel. So wala siyang ibang pinagbigyan, wala siyang ibang pinili kung hindi ang Israel. Hindi niya binigay ang kanyang word or promises sa ibang nations. Sa kanila lang. Sila lang ang natatanging source of salvation sa nations. Now, ano ibig sabihin ko na sila ang source ng salvation? Because they have the word. They have the word of God. Ang tanging paraan to know God's saving grace is through His written word. Pero, possessing the word does not mean na sila ay saved na or will not face yung judgment ng Panginoong isang araw. Kasi it is useless to have God's word if you do not believe the promised one na nabanggit sa word, which is si Jesus Christ. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit nirebuke ni Jesus sa mga religious leaders na umaasa sa salita. John 5 verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life and it is they that bear witness about me. Imagine ninyo na itong grupo ng Jew or Israel, lumaki sila having God's word. Simula pagkabata narinig nila ang salita ng Diyos na tinuturo. Simula nung pagkabata, kinakanta nila ang salita ng Diyos. Weekly, they hear the teaching and preaching of God's Word. They are surrounded by a community that reminds them of God's Word. They have an advantage pagdating ho dito. Of course, marami pa silang advantage, pero what takes primacy is yung salita ng Diyos. But having the Word of God does not take you far if you don't believe in its teaching. Though they have the Word of God, they failed to obey yung salita ng Diyos. And they rejected the person and work of Christ na kung saan nababanggit po sa salita ng Diyos. Friends, as Christians, we too have an advantage. Meron din po tayong advantage kasi we have access to God's Word, which is the Bible. Through God's Word, we are able to know what God is like, that He is the author and sustainer of our life, that He is loving, sovereign, good, holy, righteous, merciful, and gracious through His Word. Through God's Word, we get to know who we are, God's image bearers. We are created in the image of God to display His glory by imaging His rule and His character. It is also through the Word of God that we get to know that we have rebelled against God by rejecting His Word and stole His glory na dapat sa Kanya. And one day we know from God's Word that we too will be judged kung magpapatuloy tayo sa ganito. Through God's Word, we get to know what God has done to reconcile our relationship with Him. He sent His Son Jesus, who perfectly obeyed God's Word and died on the cross for our sins. His resurrection proves that God accepted His sacrifice and has defeated death, sin, and Satan. We know through God's Word that salvation comes to those who repent from their sins and place their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. We also know through God's Word that this Christ who saved us will return for us. Friends, we have an advantage. May mga bansa po na walang access sa salita ng Diyos. May mga bansa po na bawal mag-gather for Sunday service. We have an advantage to gather every Sunday dito sa Swiss Hotel to hear the message of God's Word preached and be reminded of this good news. We have an advantage in seeing the gospel through baptism and the Lord's Supper, which is mamaya gagawin po natin. We have an advantage of being part of a community that speaks the gospel, that speaks God's Word to one another, building each other up and helping each other to heaven. Some of you who are here have an advantage growing up in a home na kung saan ang nanay at tatay ay Kristiyano. You have an advantage hearing and being discipled by your parents, hearing the gospel, reading the Bible, singing the Bible to you. You have an advantage sa tahanan na yan. Naalala ko nung nakikinig ako ng isang testimony sa isang youth camp ng isang dating drug dependent at nakulong, binago ng Panginoon at ngayon pastor na. Sabi ng katabi ko, sana ganyan ang testimony ko para maganda. Kasi lumaki ako sa Christian kaya hindi na ako nagloko eh. Friends, if you grew up in a Christian home, magandang testimony yan. Huwag tayo mainggit doon. Ang bawat isa sa atin may kanya-kanyang storya na ginawa ang Panginoon. And all of that are beautiful. If you grew up in a Christian home, you have an advantage. Your home is saturated with God's Word. And you praise God for that. Huwag mong panghinayangan. Having the Word of God does not take you far, although, if you refuse to believe it and believe in Christ, na kung saan na very center ng salita ng Diyos. If may Bible ka man, marami ka na memorize na Bible verses, lumaki ka sa tahanan, yet you refuse, reject Christ, then you will still be judged. Ayon sa isa kong kaibigang pastor, the word of the Lord brings you to the Lord of the word. Being entrusted with the words of God is a great advantage. Huwag po natin sayangin. Huwag po natin, let's take advantage na nakakapag-meet po tayo dito. Invite more friends who will hear God's word, who will see the gospel displayed sa community. Let us not take this for granted. Pero kung iisipin natin in light of Israel's history, kasi may advantage yung mga Jews eh. Nasa kanila yung Torah, nasa kanila yung law, yung Old Testament writings. Kung iisipin natin in light of Israel's history, ilang beses sila nagrebelde laban sa salita ng Diyos. They were unfaithful. And now we now go sa next question or objection, which talks about God's faithfulness. Verse 3, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. So if I were to rephrase itong tanong na ito, will God continue to be faithful to His covenant people even though they have been unfaithful to Him by their sin and rebellion? Magpapatuloy pa rin ba ang katapatan ng Diyos kahit rebelde ang mga tao niya? Will He be faithful sa Kanyang promise? Will He be true sa Kanyang word? Paul gave an emphatic negative. Siyempre, oo! Siyempre, hindi! Hinding-hindi, sabi sa magandang balita ng Biblia. Hinding-hindi. It was the Jews who broke the law, not God. God has proven Himself to be faithful all the time and will continue to be faithful. Ang Panginoon ay patuloy na magiging tapat kahit ang tao will compromise the truth in various ways and break His covenant. God will continue to be faithful. Pero anong ibig sabihin ni Paul na pag nung sinabi niya, God is faithful in relation to the Jews? Ano ibig sabihin na faithful ang Panginoon? Well, sa Old Covenant po, God promised Israel to bless them if they were to keep His law. If they will break His law and His covenant, their covenant with God, He will curse them. Okay? Yun po ang kasunduan. He would curse them or judge them. So, itong promise of God's word ay parang two-edged sword, no? Magkabilaan ng talim. Blessings, if you obey. Curses or judgment if you disobey. Now, ang case ng Israel who disobeyed, rebelled against Him, were unfaithful to the covenant, who sinned against God. Now, listen to this. For God to be faithful sa kanyang covenant with them, He must judge sinners. So, ang judgment that Paul pronounced sa mga Jewish sinners ay hindi evidence of the Lord's unfaithfulness, kung hindi isang patunay na He always keeps His word. To be faithful to His promise, God must judge sin. Ang problema, when we think about God's faithfulness, we read it through our own selfish lenses. Oh, faithful ang Panginoon. Ano ang translation nun sa isip natin? May pera. Increase. Magkakatrabaho. Good health. Wealth. Prosperity. Favor. Yun ang faithfulness. But what we forget, God is faithful to bless, but also faithful to judge. Especially in light dito sa Old Covenant. God is holy and just. In fact, if God doesn't save sinners, He is still just and faithful. Kahit hindi siya magligtas. So, ang judgment that Paul pronounced sa mga Jewish sinners ay hindi evidence of the Lord's unfaithfulness. Tingnan niyo po sa verse, second part ng verse 4 ng Romans 3. That you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. Si Paul cited here an Old Testament psalm na kung saan sinulat ni King David. King David ay kilala bilang isang dakilang hari ng Israel, pero kilalang kilala rin ang kanyang scandal. Kilalang kilala rin how great his sins were. Kasi dakila ang kanyang mga kasalanan. Isa na dito is when he committed adultery kay Bathsheba. Nung nabuntis si Bathsheba, pilit ng tinatago itong kasalanan na to, at ang ginawa niya is pinapatay niya ang kanyang asawa na si Uriah. Nathan the prophet one day confronted him and he lost his child kay Bathsheba. Kaya sinulat ni David sa Psalm 51, which Paul alludes to, which Paul cites, a confession to God. Psalm 51 is a confessional hymn. It's a confessional song ni David sa Panginoon nung nagawa niya yung kay Bathsheba. Saying, to you only have I sinned. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Yun yung confession niya. Ito yung part na kung saan sinight ni Paul. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. God has every right to judge David. Sa passage na ito, David points out na God shows his faithfulness by judging him. Tama lang, Panginoon, I deserve worse. Ganyan ba ang tunog ng ating mga panalangin sa harapan ng Diyos when we sin? Lord, I deserve worse. God has every right to judge David. At ito din ang pinopoint out ni David sa lahat ng mga Jews. Which leads us as a third objection. God's fairness. Fair ba ang Panginoon? Verse 5 to 8. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that God may come? Good may come. As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. Now, may dalawang scenario na nilatag dito si Paul, dalawang question or objection patungkol sa fairness ng Panginoon or pagiging just ng Panginoon. Una, kung sa paggawa ng kasamaan ay mas na-highlight ang katarungan ng Diyos, edi, well, hindi makatarungan yun. Bakit niya ako paparusahan sa ating kasalanan? Ang sagot ni Paul, syempre hindi. Hindi. Ang ganitong klaseng mga tanong o argumento ay nanggagaling lamang sa corrupt na mind of human, ng human argument. It's a foolish human argument. God is holy, he can never look at sin favorably. Hindi mo pwede ibato itong argumento na to sa isang banal na Diyos. And his judgment is always fair. Ang mga first century Jews ay naniniwala that God would judge the world. Naniniwala po sila rito. Yun nga lang, hindi sila naniniwala na kasama sila doon. Ang alam lang nila is yung i-judge yung mga Gentiles. Kasi parang because sila ay Jew, may immunity kami sa judgment ng Panginoon. Oh, so they think, na? Naniniwala sila that God would only judge the evil Gentile of the world. Kaya marahil, nung sinulat ni Paul yung chapter 1 at binabasa ito sa congregation, ang mga Jews nito siguro panay isang ayon, panay amen. Amen, yung mga Gentiles talaga na yan. Sige pa Paul, sulat pa. Kasalanan, mga immoral, homosexual, ya, tama yan. Pero Paul's point ay kung hindi fair, I'm sorry, naniniwala sila nga na mga Gentiles lang ang dapat i-judge. Pero Paul's point ay kung hindi fair si God to judge sin, then wala siyang karapatan to judge all people on the great final day of judgment. I believe hindi nila nagustuhan nung sinulat nila yung chapter 2 ni Paul. Because it addresses na lahat ng mga bagay na inaasahan nila to justify them ay walang kwenta sa harapan ng Diyos, if not for Christ. Ikalawa, at kung sa aking kasinungalingan, and I'm rephrasing yung question, at kung sa aking kasinungalingan mas lumilitaw ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos, bakit pa ako parurusahan? Ba't di na lang tayo gumawa ng kasamaan since may kabutihan naman ibubunga ito? Do you hear yung argument na binibigay dito ni Paul? Sa bahagi na ito, sa part ng passage ito, may naninira kay Paul na nagtuturo daw siya ng cheap grace. So ang pinagkakalat daw ng mga tao na ito na nagtuturo siya na gumawa tayo ng masama upang magbunga ng kabutihan. Yun ang pinagkakalat ng mga kaaway ni Paul. O gumawa tayo ng kasamaan para mas mamutawi ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos sa ating buhay. Kasi God is sovereign. Nagkahalo-halo na yung theology. Nagkamali na. May similarity ito sa chapter 6 na nagsasabi na are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Ang sagot ni Paul doon sa chapter 6 verse 2 ay hindi. Maling-mali ito mga kaibigan, maling-maling klaseng pag-iisip to. Hindi ko kasalanan to. Kung alam naman nagbigay ng batas ang Diyos sa akin na hindi ko rin kayang gampanan, eh bakit ako i-judge? Ba't niya ako sisisihin? Hindi fair. Friends, maling-mali itong kaisipan na ito. One can never justify sinning as a means to demonstrate God's glory. Let me say that again. One can never justify sinning as a means to demonstrate God's glory. Friends, God hates sin. We should too. Huwag po tayo gagawa ng kasalanan at sasabihin natin ay ginagawa namin ito para kay Lord. Ay ginagawa ko ito para kay Lord. One common situation or scenario to give flesh sa point na ito is when we say, meron akong karelasyon pero hindi siya Christian, pero para kay Lord, share ko siya ng gospel. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, marry only in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you are longing and praying for a person na makakasabang hamang buhay, make sure that that person loves Christ more than you do. You have to have a person who is a Christian, to make it clear. You cannot say and justify na baka pa sa witness ko, sa pag-share ko ng gospel, makita niya na kakaiba ako sa lahat ng babae o kakaiba ako sa lahat ng lalaki na kilala niya, ma-attract siya kay Christ at makakilala kay Lord. Well, there is a command. Marry only in the Lord. And in process of getting married, a Christian is pag nagkaroon ka ng boyfriend or girlfriend. We hold on to this not out of legalism but being obedience sa word. Besides, you would like to love a person who loves Christ. That is, if you love Christ first. Paul dismisses this slander. Ito napapansin ko kay Paul, pag ang issue is theology, talagang rumaratsyada siya sa pagdepensa. Pero pag siya ang inataking, parang hindi niya masyado pinapansin. Yun sa verse 8. Their condemnation is just. In short, pinagkatiwala na lang sila ni Paul sa Panginoon who judges justly. I think ganun din ang attitude dapat natin, ano? It's amazing how creative people can get when they start making objections against God. Malabas ang pagiging creative natin. Friends, what objections about God do you have in your mind right now? Ano mga objections na meron ka laban sa Panginoon? Do you object to the truth that God will not judge sinners? Popular po ito ngayon. Oh, God is love, at hindi siya magpaparusa ng mga makakasalanan. Dapat tawarin tayo ng Diyos, lahat tayo nasa heaven. Do you object to the truth na wala kang kayang gawin para mapatawad, maayos ang relasyon mo sa Diyos? Na you cannot bank on na ikaw ay laki sa isang Christian family? You cannot bank on na ikaw ay aral sa salita ng Diyos? That you cannot bank on na you are involved sa isang ministry? That you cannot bank on involved na nagpabaptize ka 5 beses sa iba't ibang klaseng churches? You cannot bank on na nagtuturo ka na ng, sa dati mong church? You cannot bank on na ako ang anak ng isang spiritual leader? You cannot bank on this and say, I'm justified, I'm saved. All of these are good, and in God's kindness, He gifted these to us. Pero hindi siya sapat for us to be justified sa ating kasalanan. Do you object that there is only one way for people to be forgiven and saved? Friends, if you call yourself a Christian, pero alam mo in your heart that you talk, you look, and you act like the people of this world, you should start raising questions if you truly are. Fear should dawn our hearts. Kasi we are in spiritual danger if we assume that we are Christians. Pero we're not seeing evidences of it. For those of us na lumaki na sa church, madaling isipin na okay na tayo kasi madalas tayo sa church. Kabisado na natin ang order of service, alam na natin yung mga kinakanta dyan. Alam, ang dami natin na memorize na Bible verses, alam natin yung mga activities, inaabangan natin yan. Pero kung tayo po yan, I'd like to warn you, beware of this. Na thinking na all of that you have, all of this you have experienced, beware of this kasi this is precisely ang attitude ng mga Jews. We have the law. Ang ethnicity namin ay naka-line sa patriarchs. We have the circumcision. We have the election. Useless to justify sin. Sabi nga ni Paul, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13. Sinabi rin ni Paul, keep close watch of your life and doctrine, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Kung tayo po ito, di ba, all the more, mga kaibigan, kailangan mo maging part ng church? Kailangan mo ng Christian friends and community who will help you walk in the faith. Help you with your struggles. Friends, you will be friends na kung saan who will probe you, who will probe your hearts and help you grow in Christ and point you to Christ. Friends, do you welcome brothers and sisters to speak into your life when they see inconsistency and sin sa buhay mo? Or are we the people na medyo defensive? Hindi naman ako ganun kasama. Hindi, ba't si ganun? Pastor, wag ako ang intindihan mo kasi meron tayong kapatiran, chismis pa. Mahalaga ang church membership dahil you were not made to be alone. You are not wired in such a way na maging independent and self-sufficient. You are created for relationships. You are saved for a specific community. And that is the local church. Kung nandito ka ngayon, umaga, at alam mo, or hindi ka sure na ikaw ay Christian, examine yourselves carefully. Lalo na kung madalas ka nang umaattend dito sa Crossroads. Friends, you should recognize that you are in danger spiritually and eternally because of your sins. You can either choose to raise objections sa isip mo patungkol sa Diyos o tanggapin what is being said about you is true sa mga verses na nabasa natin. Dahil sa harapan ng isang banal na Diyos, hindi tayo inosente. Walang inosente, kundi lahat ay guilty, which is yung number 2 and last. Guilty sinners will be judged justly by God. Verse 9, what then? Are we Jews any better off? Not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Mga kaibigan, ito po tayo, pag tayo po ay labas sa biyaya ng Panginoon, sorry, let me back up. Ito po tayo, yung verse 9, sa labas ng biyaya ng Panginoon. Ganito po ang itsura natin. Tayo ay lost sinners, at ito ang ine-emphasize ni Paul sa second half ng chapter 1 sa mga Gentiles, at sa chapter 2 sa mga Jews, at ngayon sa chapter 3 sa buong sangkatauhan. Walang inosente. Pansin niyo ba sa verse 9, Jews and Greeks alike are under sin? Ang description ng kasalanan na under sin ay parang tyrant, under its authority and rule. Yun ang description po ng sin. It enslaves. You are under sin. You are under authority. This is how sin is described sa chapter 5 ng Romans, sa chapter 6. Sin reigns, rules, enslaves, and exercise its lordship over the sinner. Now, hindi po ito yung parang nandyan ang sin and forces you to do its own. Our very own wills are bondage to sin. Hindi ito parang napipilitan ka magkasalanan, na magkasala. In fact, nai-enjoy natin ang kasalanan. We are bondage to it. Our desires, our affections are tainted. Tayo ay magkasabwat sa kasalanan to go against God. Magkasabwat tayo ng ating mga laman, ng kamunduhan, ng kaaway against God. Is there any way possible, Pastor, that you can avoid that conclusion sa mga huling part ng verses at which is judgment of God? Well, pansinin natin na may dalawang katotohanan po patungkol sa kasalanan sa verses 10 hanggang 12 or 19. First of all, verses 10 to 12, sin is universal. Sin is universal. Lahat ng tao makasalanan, as mentioned. Ang problema, ang madalas sa diagnosis natin sa ating sarili ay hindi tayo ganong kasama. Hindi naman ako ganun kasama. Okay lang naman ako, Pastor. Nagkamali, you know, paminsan-minsan. No one's perfect. Sorry, tao lang. Nagkakamali. Kailangan ko lang, Pastor. Actually, ang kailangan ko lang, Pastor, ay magkaroon ng self-improvement. No? Self-improve lang. Magkaroon lang ako ng mga tao na lalapit sa akin, nabibigyan ako ng mga positive vibes. Yun lang naman ang kailangan ko eh. Para maging okay ako. Friends, this is not how the Bible diagnoses us. We are not okay spiritually. We are not sick na kailangan ng mismong may magpapagaling sa'yo therapeutically. Friends, we are spiritually dead. Yun ang description ng Bible. We are not drowning. Kagaya ng isang illustration na we are drowning na kailangan na may maghagis ng salbabida para maligtas tayo. Mga kaibigan, sa situation natin spiritually, hindi tayo nalulunod. Tayo'y patay. Patay na bangkay na lumulutang kahit ilang beses ka maghagis ang salbabida dyan, walang kukuha niyan kasi patay. Yun ang sitwasyon natin sa harapan ng Diyos. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is universal. It's walang exemption po. Second, sin is also total. Makikita niyan sa verses 13 hanggang 14. Ang espiritual na kamatayan ay di lamang naapektuhan ng bawat individual, kundi every part of you as a person. Pansin nyo kung anong involved sa kasalanan natin? So verses 13 to 14, throats, our tongues, lips, mouths, feet, eyes, it is total spiritual corruption. Ang tao po dito ay total depravity. Hindi ito nangangahulugan na lahat ng tao ay masama sa abot ating makakaya. Okay? Na wala akong kayang gawin na kabutihan. Ang common grace ng Panginoon allows sinful people makagawa ng mabubuti sa lipunan. Dahil nanatili ang image ng Panginoon sa bawat isa, yun nga lang, yung image of God or yung imago Dei is distorted, defaced because of sin. Total depravity means that every aspect of our lives at lahat ng ating ginagawa outside Christ ay tainted by sin. and displeasing sa harapan ng Panginoon. Ito ang sinasabi ni Paul figuratively sa verses 13 to 14. Ang ating thoughts, motives, actions, words ay nababahiran ng kasalanan. Friends, could this be the reason kung bakit hindi mo maiwasan magmura? Hindi mo maiwasan magsinungaling? Manira ng kapwa to talk bitterly against other people. Ito kaya ang dahilan kung bakit abusive lagi ang ating language. Sabi ni Jesus, oo, yun ang dahilan. Our words reflect what's in our hearts. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Walang nilalabas ang ating labi kung hindi galing sa ating puso. Kaya hindi pwede na kapag may nagulat kami, nasabi, ay hindi, nagulat lang ako. Parang toothpaste po yan. Ang toothpaste ay toothpaste because of its content. You add pressure to it, lalabas ang tunay na toothpaste. Eh ang Christian, pag in-add natin ng pressure, ano lalabas? Hindi lamang ang ating salita ang apektado ng kasalanan, pati ang ating gawa at pamumuhay, verse 15 to 18. Andyan po yan. Ang sabi ng commentator na si Robert Holden, the most savage animals do not destroy so many of their own species to appease their hunger as man destroys of his fellows to satisfy his ambition, revenge, and greed. Mga kaibigan, ito po ang malungkot na katotohanan patungkol sa atin. Our actions, motives, desires, aspirations, and words is because of our reason is yung alienation natin sa Diyos. Romans 3 verse 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Our relationship with God affects our relationship with others. One pastor said, hostility with God overflows with hostility with people. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit may mga challenges at conflict tayo sa ating mga relationships. Sa ating marriage, sa ating mga siblings, conflict sa ating mga colleagues, conflict sa ating mga classmates, our significant loved ones, conflict even to our closest friends. Ito ang tunay na human condition, regardless sa lahi, kultura, kasarian o panahon. There is no excuse. No one is righteous, no, not one. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Ang Jewish people po, with all of their advantages, nasa kanilang word, ethnic connections sa patriarchs, yet hindi nila fully ma-obey ang law o ang salita ng Diyos. Kung totoo ito sa kanila, paano mo naisip na kaya mong gawin ito? Isang araw, no one will be declared righteous by obeying the law. Dahil wala ni isa nakakatupad neto fully. Verse 20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Mga kaibigan, kung nandito kayo ngayon, umaga, and you are relying on your religious performance, o pastor, religious akong tao, if you're depending on that, banking on that, relying on that to please God, to be justified, you are spiritually in danger. Nanganganib po kayo. The law was never given to people in this side of heaven to be observed perfectly. Kasi walang may kaya nun. It is not intended to be obeyed perfectly, but to make us realize we're imperfect. To make us realize that we are unable to obey God's law. We are unable to please God. That we are inadequate Wala tayong abilidad. We are unable to fulfill the law. It tells us that we need a Savior. All of this, yung argument ni Paul prepares his readers and us right now na wala tayong kayang gawin upang iayos ang relasyon natin sa Diyos. Only Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is truly God and man, was able to fulfill all the requirements of the law. He is the only one who seeks to live for the glory of God. He is the only one who does what is good and right in the sight of God. He is the only one who perfectly obeyed the law. Yet, He was judged in our place. He suffered and died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Friends, this is the good news of Jesus Christ for hopeless sinners like you and me. Friends, what's your excuse in responding to such great news? Or not responding to it? Turn from your sins of self-righteousness. Kagaya sinabi ni Brother Marlon kanina. Turn your sins from self-reliance. And turn to Christ alone for salvation. As we conclude, friends, here's my prayer for us. I don't want us to leave hopeless. That's why we have the gospel right before us. And next week, mas mai-elaborate ni Paul ito. Itong gospel of hope na ito. Ang prayer ko is that may we become people, as earlier I said, that would marvel at God's amazing grace. That we would be people who are shocked by our own sins. That we would come to that shocking realization na hindi natin kaya mapatawad. Walang kapatawaran. We don't deserve any forgiveness. That we would rely on Christ. That we would cling to Christ for salvation and be amazed. May we glorify Christ not only as we see and savor the Lord Jesus Christ one day, kung hindi hanggang ngayon, but hindi ngayon. The evidences na binigay sa salita ng Diyos cause all sinners to stop their mouths na sabihin hindi sila guilty. Friends, may it cause to open our mouths to speak of His wonders and excellencies through Christ. Because God is faithful. God demonstrates His faithfulness through the judgment of all guilty sinners. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us through your word, kahit mabigat, pakinggan, na wala kaming kayang ipagmalaki sa inyo. Now we deserve worse. For my brothers and sisters who are here, I pray that this would be a great encouragement. Now we who are sinners, who rebelled against you, did not receive as our sins deserved. I pray for friends na nandito who have been attending regularly or have been here for the first time or a couple of times, and they're hearing this truth about man and truth about God. May, Lord, our prayer is this, that you would call them to salvation in Christ. As we herald the gospel through the singing and through the preaching of the word, may we see the presentation of the gospel through the Lord's Supper. May you be honored during this time. In Christ's name, amen.